We've been through a rough couple of weeks. Okay, maybe a bit more than that. Maybe a rough couple of years. Imagine our recent history, and really history in general, like a huge roller coaster. The kind with the extreme elevation changes and a couple of those loop-de-loops thrown in for good measure. Hopefully we're strapped in for safety. The emotional ups and downs, the loops and jolts come at us out of nowhere, it seems. All we can see is that track right in front of us. Maybe we're having the time of our lives at points, or maybe we're hanging on for dear life at other points. But what is certain is that an adrenaline rush and nausea will be expected. That's kind of how I've taken the last 2 years or so. I know that like an intense roller coaster, life can feel overwhelming at times. But there is an important adage that we must always keep in mind. Gird your loins. And remember, if we do not know our history, we are doomed to repeat it. And frankly, there's a lot of history, and rides for that matter, that I'd prefer not to repeat. So I began this morning by asking for our commitment to keep educating ourselves about our history, and everyone who will listen to us, educate them as well, and to stay in the game, committed to being ever vigilant. I know that it doesn't feel like we're playing, but trust me, people are playing. I have to admit that after last Saturday and the violence that took place at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, I was fairly despondent. I woke up on Sunday morning to a call from Chief Nix, who promised me that he would keep us safe and not to worry. He asked me if it would be okay to stop over here at First Parish, and I hope that seeing him brought you some comfort, not concern. The terrorism that is taking place in this country, there is no other word for it, terrorism. The beatings, brutality, bombs, and gun violence by our own citizens is just mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it. For the most part, as a people, we, you and I, are very privileged. And those who are not as privileged are working to educate us, trying in various ways to wake us up to their plights, encouraging us to work with them to make our world better for all. People of color, indigenous people, immigrants, LGBTQ, poor, homeless. Most of us understand the importance and value of making our community and country better for all. Most. But not everyone. They tend to blame this country and the world's woes on everyone else. Not understanding that the work that they and we really need to do begins inside each one of us. This understanding that I have work to do, that we have work to do, is what I try to remind myself of when I catch myself otherizing a person or a group. Last Sunday night, we were invited to attend a service at B'nai Torah, the Sudbury Synagogue on Post Road. When I arrived early, the cantor, who's a lovely woman, was leading the service that night and came over to me very pleasantly and introduced herself. I can imagine that her first inclination was to be welcoming, but I'm guessing to assure safety, as I was an unknown. Personally, I would have felt the same way after Sunday's events, or Saturday's events. Protecting my people would be my top priority. When I explained who I was, the minister from First Parish, and that I was heartbroken over the attack in Pittsburgh, she was visibly touched. So touched that I came to mourn with and support them in our collective grief. It is as if I gave them a huge gift beyond measure just by showing up, just by being there. They had this amazing gift. I have to admit that on Sunday evening, I received far more than I gave by being there. There was praying and singing, lots of singing, and a moment for a memorial. But it was something that the cantor said which truly reached in and touched me. She explained that in Judaism, when someone dies, that death is acknowledged, but not focused on. Those who survive instead focus on life. Focus on moving forward in life. Somewhere inside, I knew this, but it was as if a spark was lit in that second for me. It was as if she or God gave me permission to let go of the grief and the fear that I had been hanging on to and instead embrace all the possibilities that lay in front of me for life. After I left the service on Sunday night, I felt far lighter than I had when I arrived. The key piece of wisdom I received, focus on life. Since last Saturday, there's been a lot of concern about why our country is in the state that it is. Lots of pointing fingers and blaming. There's a lot of conjecture why some white men are turning towards a rhetoric of hate and violence right now in our history. I do not want to say that it's just men. I'm not sure that it is, really. I've seen so many spite-filled videos where women took center stage as the angry racists. However, men have been the ones so far to perpetrate the violence. Many of the people who are in that fragile, angry place seem to be those who have lost power in some way, lost jobs, lost their sense of self, their sense of identity. I do not condone anyone's behavior with regard to violence. There is always another choice. But I can imagine that it's tough to face such a reality, to have such high hopes for life and expectations. So here they are, getting a bit older by the day, and the opportunities become less and less and less, with no relief in sight. They see a trajectory now that is not what they were promised or expected, being a privileged white person, white male. This demographic, in large measure, holds the power in this country. So when one is white without power, I can imagine that it might feel in some way that it is the system that has failed them, or that they are under siege. And to that, the influx of immigrants who are desperate for any kind of work, really appreciative of the American dream, and there's a whole lot of anger that starts to simmer. It's not right. It's not right in any way. But I believe that it is the reality that we need to understand a whole lot better in this country if we want to actually come back together as Americans. We have to try to heal the us and the them regardless of the outcome of the midterm elections. I know we're all hopeful, but we need to focus on something larger. This is the political base that will do whatever it takes to get and maintain power. They desperately want to hold all of the cards, and they have, in large part, nothing to lose. I realize that I'm probably simplifying this far too much and generalizing as well, but there is a significant pattern here that just cannot be ignored. I recently read that those that call themselves white nationalists are only about 6% of the U.S. population. I can't decide if that's comforting or horrifying. Then there's the rest of us, those who have maybe a little bit of power and a solid sense of self. I'm not including women in that, of course, or folks with a different religious identity, or people of color, or queers, or the poor, and so on. We're not the ones with any power, really. And yes, many of us are angry about that and have had enough of being otherized, but we know the score. We never were relegated to have power in this system, so our expectations are pretty much in check. We are all, those with power and those without, at the mercy of a rigged system. The only power that we do have, any guesses? Any guesses? Say it louder. Vote. Our right to vote. There are many in this country that would prefer that only an elect few had the right to vote. Throughout history, people of color and women have fought hard and won the right because it was so important. It is daunting that many choose not to exercise that right. It, like, freaks me out. Here's a fact. Our elections are under siege. There has been domestic and foreign tampering with the vote, gerrymandering of districts, a refusal to register and validate voters with a P.O. box, which covers many of the First Nations people, and the manipulation of polling locations and misinformation to make it impossible for all to get to a place where they can actually vote. And then there's people who choose not to. The thought of this is hard or impossible for me to really just get my head around. I mean, I think about the election in 2016 and that less than half of this country voted. This is the political strategy that is currently being used in this country. We should be outraged and we should ask everyone we know and don't know if they have voted. Have you voted? I voted last Monday. Raise your hands if you voted. The rest of you, vote. I actually walk, whenever I go someplace, I walk up to young adults, young folks, and I'll say to them, have you voted? Are you registered to vote? Are you going to vote? Because you know what? Your vote is the most important thing that you can do for me and for anyone else in this country. That's the kind of advocacy as Unitarian Universalists we all need to be doing. All of us need to be just going out there and asking people to vote. There's another way to do this registration thing, because I got to tell you, I think that's the biggest stumbling block to getting people to vote. In Oregon, people are automatically registered to vote unless they decide to opt out. That seems like a good plan to me, right? Just let everybody vote. What are you afraid of? We all know what they're afraid of. Why do we think that anyone would want to stop people from voting? I mean, what is it? In this day and age, it is up to each one of us to ensure the right and the ability to vote. Whether one is 18 or 118, it is our civic duty to be informed about the issues and the candidates and vote. There should be no roadblocks in our way to exercising this civic duty. And the technology that enables us to vote should be protected even more than the Federal Reserve or the Department of Defense. It is the most important thing in our democracy. And yet it's one of the most vulnerable things in our democracy. Okay. Now on to gratitude. I've given you my grief. Now I'm going to give you my gratitude. I personally have a deep sense of gratitude for all the ways that we show up for one another in this system of democracy. Think about it. I think of the folks right now going door to door in New Hampshire, which, you know, Bernie Sanders said, get out, let's all go to New Hampshire and make this happen. I think of all those people driving people to the polls, putting signs on their lawns, making phone calls, educating people on the issues and registering folks to vote. It is an amazing fact that people are engaged. All of those volunteer hours, think about it. It's a lot of people doing a lot of good in this world. I do realize that what we have as a system may be less than perfect, that there are folks in power out there trying their hardest to rig the game to their benefit, playing the odds for all they're worth. But I wholeheartedly want to believe that if people are encouraged, educated, and respected for the part that they play in this country, that they will ultimately choose to do the right thing for all. I know that many believe that I am naive about this, but being otherwise would give me less than nothing to hope for. So I choose to have the view that I do. And we all need to remain hopeful and committed to this battle, because it is a battle. Our weapons in this confrontation are this: respect, education, love. Think about it. What really matters most in our families, in our communities, and in this nation is how we treat one another. What people remember is how we treat them, right? It is how we make others feel about who they are and their self-worth. There's nothing that is more important than actively listening to each other, building or tending our relationships with one another, and reaching out when and if needed. If I respect and appreciate you, for all that you bring into this life, into this community, I believe that there would be a lot fewer disgruntled, disenfranchised people wandering around. When people treat us well, treat us with respect and consideration, don't we feel better about ourselves and just better about the world in general? Think about it. When you feel empowered in your job, when you feel empowered in your life, don't you feel better about the world? There's a thought that if you have gratitude, true gratitude in your life, that you cannot feel fear, that you cannot feel anger, because your gratitude outweighs all the others. Isn't that how we all want to feel? Right? At the end of the day, I believe that is all about how we treat one another, plain and simple. This last week, we saw violence in Squirrel Hill, Pittsburgh, but we also saw something else. Rabbi Doris Dayan, upon arriving at the Tree of Life Synagogue last Saturday, saw firsthand the heroic actions of the officers who arrived moments after the shooting began. She explained, "I was so grateful that they arrived when they did, as quickly as they did what they needed to do, put themselves in danger so that our folks, as many as possible, could get out." In Squirrel Hill, community gratitude has been contagious, including at the police station where the first responders came from, just two blocks from the synagogue. Inside, there are a plethora of thank you cards and food and community members just showing up in person to thank the officers for their heroic service. It's amazing. I saw two of the officers opening the hockey game, I think, the other day on TV. I'm not sure if you know it or not, but Squirrel Hill was a neighborhood that the Presbyterian minister, Mr. Rogers, actually lived in. Mr. Rogers taught me so much about being a good neighbor growing up as a latchkey kid. Besides his invitation to be his neighbor, he taught that it's okay to feel whatever it is that we feel. But our feelings aren't an excuse for bad behavior. Other people are different from us, and just as complex as we are. It's our responsibility to care for the most vulnerable. We can work to make a difference right where we are. It's important to make time to care for ourselves. Regardless of how we look and how we believe, we are neighbors. When Mr. Rogers called us neighbors, when he hosted us in his neighborhood, he was calling us gently but firmly out of our structures of power and our silos of sameness into lives of mercy and care for one another. It has been an awful week, but I'm asking myself instead to be grateful for the wake-up call. I'm sad about the violence and the loss of 13 lives this week in Jefferson Town and Squirrel Hill to gunmen, but they will not have died in vain because I'm inviting you to be galvanized to personally do better. Let us work harder to be good neighbors to all, even those we do not agree with. I will not allow the actions of two gunmen and a bomber to outweigh the actions of so many others who truly do care and want to make a difference. For example, I am mindful of all the people from the Central American caravan making their way on foot from Honduras to the U.S. border. I think of how this administration, this president, calls for our military to literally meet our neighbors to the south who only seek what our own ancestors sought, a better, safer life with opportunities for their future, only to turn them away forcibly if need be or incarcerate them. I wonder what we might lose if instead we meet them, those fleeing violence, persecution, with food, with water, new clothing, shoes, medical attention. What would it cost us, really, to be such good neighbors? It seems that in this moment of history, we have an opportunity to learn from our ancestors' mistakes. I think of how the Pilgrims landed and wouldn't have survived that first winter in Plymouth if it wasn't for the generosity and care of the indigenous peoples. I'm here because my ancestor, Edward Fuller, survived in Plymouth. I am grateful for the opportunity to return that very important favor and to learn what it truly means to be generous, even in the face of scarcity, which we in this country are not facing, and to learn what that generosity may have to teach us. I think of these difficult times that we face, barraged by a rhetoric of fear and hate, and how this time we can make different choices to do things differently. I believe that we can do better, demand better. It will take hope. It will take a resilient heart and mind, and that is open enough in the midst of the hardest of times when we really want to just hide to be better. That is the work that we have in front of us, to remain hope-filled, open-hearted, and open-minded. I'm grateful for the opportunities to rise above that this time in history gives us. I'm grateful for this community and for my ability to stand right here in front of you and call us to rise above, to have heart, to have hope, to be agents of love, agents of change. I'm grateful for what we are building and maintaining here at First Parish and outside of these meeting house walls with our neighbors. I'm grateful for our willingness to step beyond our comfort zones and for all of the insight that we share in this community of Sudbury, even though at times it may be opposed or feel scary. Personally, I truly appreciated hearing from Chief Nix last Sunday. With that one call from him, I knew that he had our back, that he would be here if ever and whenever we needed him. During times like these, when the world seems scary, that is a comforting thought. I am grateful to all of us for the personal work that we endeavor to do on a daily basis that makes this community more inclusive and more welcoming. That when we meet the stranger, that we have the ability to see a new friend instead of being afraid. It is that work that we do of seeing difference for what it is, just a construct that informs our reptilian brain whether to fight or flee. It would be so easy to isolate, put our blinders on, keep our heads down, but these are not the only choices available to us. Fight or flight. They are not the only ones. Love with your whole heart. Love the struggle that we endure in the face of fear, in the face of anger, uncertainty, and be willing to cross perceived boundaries of difference in order to reach out and build relationships with all of our neighbors. In the end, what the historians will write about these times, I don't know. But I hope. I hope that they talk about a country that was divided with regard to doing the right thing, with regard to knowing what the right thing is to do. Many informed by fear or motivated by greed or anger, but that there was a movement that stepped beyond personal gain to share little things like mutual respect and care, offered random acts of kindness everywhere and every day, and that it was those small, little, local acts that made all the difference. Because we learned from history and we atoned by doing the right thing over and over again until it became second nature. That is what I hope for. My mantra moving forward is simple. Focus on life. Vote and secure the right to vote for ourselves and others. Courageously welcome the stranger. Be a good neighbor. Show up when you're needed. And always, always have one another's backs, regardless of who that other might actually be. I invite you to take a moment in silence.